Exodus chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shephira, and the name of the other Puha. And he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him, but if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives, and said unto them, Why have ye done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively, and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. After Joseph and his brothers all had died, we learn from Moses, because Moses was the writer of this book of Exodus, that the children of Israel rapidly increased in number. And that is exactly what had been promised in God's covenant to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. In fact, there had not been very much of a growth up until this point. But now that that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jacob's sons had all died, their families grew rapidly. And we see the promise of God coming to pass. Sometimes we are reminded that we need to be patient to see God's promises fulfilled. But we may be sure that no divine promise ever goes unfulfilled. I like verse 7 in this little chapter, and it reminded me, perhaps like me, you've heard children trying to outdo one another with numbers. So they might say something like, one will say, oh, I've got 100. And the other one will say, well, I've got 100 times 1,000. And then the first one will reply, well, I've got 100 times 1,000 million more than you. Well, that's what verse 7 is doing right here in front of us. This is the Bible's equivalent. Verse 7 says, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. It almost appears as if Moses couldn't get enough words into this verse to show us the growth and the surplus of people that there were. But that explosion of numbers did not go unnoticed. It couldn't, of course it couldn't. And we're told that there was a new Pharaoh in the land, and he began to be afraid of the children of Israel. So he called his people, and they conspired against the Israelites to make their lives harder, to make them poorer, and hopefully to make them less fruitful. But what we discover was that it had the opposite effect. The taskmasters that were set over the children of Israel to make their life hard only seemed to make them stronger and more numerous. So the king planned another way. He told the midwives, these were women who helped with the birth of babies, that they were to kill the boy babies and keep the girl babies alive. And the two midwives that are spoken of here, they might have been head midwives or something, or leaders in their profession, that there were only two of them mentioned, that they might influence others. We're told that these midwives feared God, and they respected the command of God for the sanctity of life and the preservation of life. Because God had said that we are not to shed blood, for in the image of God made he man. So Shiphrah and Puah made an excuse that the Hebrew women didn't need midwives. And so the babies were born before the midwives arrived. There's a couple of things that we can learn from this passage also. The powers that are in this world will always be suspicious and fearful. And if they are able, they will be vindictive and troublesome to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that doesn't mean that individuals will always be nasty to us or violent towards us. Although we saw in our opening psalm that might be the case on occasion. But what it means is that the systems of this world and the values of this world will be opposed to the good and to the well-being of our souls. The world will never encourage us spiritually. The world will always want to tempt us away from God, and it will always attempt to make us weaker and poorer and less fruitful in our souls and in our spirits. And sometimes the opposition of the world will be subtle and devious, and sometimes it will be blatant and open. I don't think there could be anything more devious than asking midwives to secretly kill babies. And yet we find at the end of the chapter that Pharaoh was openly saying that it was open season for the Egyptians to kill any of the children of Israel's babies that they came across. Such is the depravity of human nature. John, the apostle, tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, therefore, let us love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There is this opposition, there is this contrast There is this trouble that exists, deep-seated in the relationship between the Lord's people and the powers and the systems of this world. The taskmasters, here's another point, that were set over the children of Israel to make life difficult for them. They actually made the Israelites grow more strongly. Something that you'll perhaps have heard said before, sportsmen and sportswomen and athletes have a little saying. They say that there's no gain without pain. Well, spiritually speaking, that's true as well. No one likes to endure trial and hardship. But we find in Scripture that God uses our trials, and he even brings trials upon his people in order to teach us and cause us to become more dependent on him, more familiar with him through prayer and trusting him for help, and therefore spiritually stronger in our lives and in our faith and in our trust of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that we should learn to look for the Lord in all our troubles, and even ask the Lord to use our troubles and our weaknesses to make our faith stronger in him. And don't miss the lesson, thirdly, that Satan always sought opportunity to kill the male children of the Jews so that he could destroy the line of promise, and so that he could break the plan and the covenant of God to send a saviour and a deliverer. This Jesus who came had been promised in the very earliest days of God's dealings with men and women. We call him the Messiah, we call him the Christ. But all through the history of the Jews, Satan employed men and women to try and break the line of that covenant promise. But what we find here is that no Pharaoh in Egypt or no Haman in the court of Persia, no Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, no Herod at the time of Christ could destroy the line that God ordained to bring about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. This Saviour Jesus Christ would come in due time, and he would save his people from their sins. And we thank God for preserving his people. We thank God for his mercy. We thank God for grace. And we thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us trust and obey the Lord Jesus Christ, who saves us by his death and brings us into relationship with God through all he has done for us. Amen.